First off, I want to tell you how excited I am that you are considering baptizing your child. I believe it's a great privilege to baptize our babies and children. I believe the Bible explains why we baptize children. I want to begin by simply saying that baptism does not get you into heaven. The blood of Jesus does. The only way we can get into heaven when we die is if we repent of our sins, believe that Jesus came to this earth, He lived perfectly, He died on the cross for our sins so that we would be forgiven, and He offers us eternal life. If we admit that we're sinners and we believe that Jesus did these things for us and that He is our King, and we commit our lives to following Jesus as our King, submitting under His authority, then we will be in heaven when we die. Baptism doesn't guarantee us salvation. It doesn't get us into heaven. Believing in Jesus, having faith in Him, does. The Holy Spirit changes our hearts. He gets us into heaven. Our faith gets us into heaven. It's not through baptism. There are two ways that we baptize people at Christ Covenant. The first is what I call believer's baptism, adult baptism. The second is what I call infant or child baptism. We baptize adults at Christ Covenant. And the reason we do so is because baptism means cleansing, repentance, and union with Christ. There are many people who come to our church who have never been baptized before. And when they commit their lives to following Jesus, they go through a process here of becoming a member of our church, and then they explain to the elders of our church that they believe in Jesus Christ, and they tell us what they believe and why they believe it. And after that, we baptize them. And it's so fun when we baptize adults here at Christ Covenant because it's like a big party. It's like a big celebration because this person who is baptized is literally making a statement before the congregation that they believe in Jesus Christ. And they've been cleansed of their sins, they've repented of their sins, and they are united with Christ. So we love to baptize adults here at Christ Covenant. We also love to baptize children. That's the second way we baptize people, is we baptize children and infants. And there's really two reasons why we do it. The first reason is we believe that baptism has replaced circumcision as the mark of God's people. The second reason we baptize children is we believe that there were many household baptisms in the New Testament. Baptism means cleansing, repentance, and union with Christ. It also means entering into the covenant community. And in order for us to believe in infant baptism, we have to understand the whole Bible and read the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. When you look at the Old Testament, you find that God is a covenant God. The word covenant means promise, relationship. And God makes many promises with His people in the Old Testament. And that promise is essentially summed up as, I will be your God and you will be my people. God is telling His people that you are mine and I am yours. And those people in the Old Testament were the Jews. The Jewish people were His chosen people. They were in what I call the covenant community. And every male who was born on the eighth day would be circumcised. They would be circumcised because it would serve as a mark of God's chosen people. It essentially served as a boundary marker that this boy is now set apart from the rest of the world as God's chosen people. Now, adult males who were not Jewish, who entered the Jewish faith and the Jewish community, and they followed God, they too were circumcised. They had to be circumcised because, once again, it was a boundary marker. It set apart them from the rest of the world. Now, even though a baby boy was circumcised or an adult male was circumcised, it did not guarantee them eternal life. When we baptize a baby, I want to make this statement very clear. When we baptize a baby, we are not saying that this baby, because they're baptized, will one day be in heaven. I believe that's heretical and that's impossible because baptism doesn't get you to heaven. Unfortunately, there are many denominations out there that would claim that when you baptize an infant, it's like an insurance policy and it gets them into heaven, or it guarantees that one day they'll repent of their sins and believe and they'll be in heaven one day. That's impossible. We can't make that statement. We can't claim that to be true. I do believe that you can be in the covenant community, be circumcised in the Old Testament and baptized in the New as a baby, and still not be in heaven when you die, still not be a Christian fully. And I believe that because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 tells us there were many Jews who were circumcised that deliberately kept on sinning, and as a result, they are not in heaven one day. They are not in heaven right now. Let me read it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, it tells us, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again, the Lord will judge his people. What is this saying? The Lord will judge his people. These were the Jewish people who deliberately kept on sinning, who rejected the law of God, the law of Moses, the word of God. And as a result, they died without mercy, which means they're not in heaven right now. They were in the covenant community. They received great privileges by being under the teaching in the synagogue and being discipled by their parents and being prayed for probably by other parents in the Jewish community. They probably served in the Jewish community. And they served outside of the community. They probably tasted a lot of good things of God, but they didn't fully commit their lives to following God. But yet they were still circumcised, setting them apart from the rest of God's people. Well, when Jesus was here on this earth, he too was a Jew and he was circumcised. When Jesus died and rose again and ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, we believe the good news of Jesus, his message, has spread throughout the ends of the earth. So Christianity or God's people is no longer just Jewish people. It is now spread throughout the ends of the earth for different ethnicities, nationalities, people groups. So now the good news represents the entire world. Christianity has exploded throughout the entire world. It's not just a Jewish religion. It is now a religion of the world. And I believe God intended that. So God's people now represent every tribe, tongue, and nation. And because of that, when you become a follower of Jesus and you become God's people, you've entered into that covenant community, you no longer have to be circumcised. And I believe baptism has replaced circumcision as the mark of God's people. The reason I believe that is found in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. It says this, "In him, in Christ, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead." What I believe Colossians 2, 11 through 12 tells us is that we no longer have to be circumcised, done by the hands of men, but we're circumcised, done by Christ, through having been buried with him in baptism. What this tells me is that baptism is now a symbolic circumcision. The word circumcision means to be cut off from the rest of the world as God's covenant community, his family. Now, baptism is the symbolic circumcision. Baptism has cut us off from the rest of the world, and we are now included in God's covenant family. What's powerful about baptism today and baptizing babies is it's no longer just for boys. We can also baptize our daughters and set them apart under God's care. So boys and girls are baptized in the church community. And when they're entering into the church community, they have many privileges that a baby outside of the church community would not have. They would have the entire church congregation who pledges to help support the parents in raising their child up. So they would help the parent teach and train this child in the way they should go so that when the child gets older, they would not depart from God's ways. The church family, when a baby's baptized and they enter into the covenant church community, they rally around these parents and they say, "We're going to do our part to help you raise this child in the Christian faith. teach them God's words and God's ways. We're going to pray for them. We're going to help you raise this child. That's a strong statement where the church rallies around the family. And when you baptize your child, Christ Covenant Church family, the church family will rally around you and do the very best we can to help you raise this child. So the first reason we baptize children is we believe baptism has replaced circumcision as the mark of God's people. The second reason we baptize children is we believe that there were household baptisms in the New Testament that represented children of different ages. There are 12 recorded baptisms in the New Testament. Three of the 12 recorded baptisms in the New Testament talk about household baptisms. Acts chapter 16, verse 15 says, "When Lydia and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home." Acts 16:33 says, "At that hour of the night, the Philippian jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16 tells us, "Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else." There are at least three household baptisms that are mentioned here in the New Testament. And I believe during this time in history, in the Mediterranean area, there were large families in this area. And these families had children represented of all ages. So when we see these household baptisms, we can conclude that there were children in these homes, young kids in these homes that were baptized as well. Now, again, we don't know the exact ages of these children. But it tells me, just when you study history and you study the Mediterranean area, you can find that there were large families with children of all ages. And so when it says the entire households were baptized, I believe that children were in those households. We also have church history that tells us that infant baptism has been a common practice for many, many years. Scholar Joachim Jeremias has argued that infant baptism was a universal practice of the church by AD 200. And it was at least in North Africa, the universal practice of the church, the early church. In the 17th century, there was an issue with the Anabaptists. And at the time, in Protestant history, there were not many adult baptisms. Throughout history, the vast majority of Christian bodies have understood baptism to apply to children and to adult believers. Even today, most Protestant denominations baptize babies. The Presbyterians are not the only ones who baptize babies. There are many denominations that baptize babies. Now, the reasons why we baptize babies are different. However, infant baptism is a common practice and has been a common practice since 200 AD that we know of. So again, just to summarize, there's two main reasons. There's others, but there's two main reasons why we baptize babies. We believe that baptism has replaced the mark of circumcision, representing God's covenant community. We also believe that there were household baptisms of children of different ages in the New Testament, of children baptized in these households. I want to thank you for listening to this, and I hope I've encouraged you to consider and even to baptize your child. Again, I believe it's a privilege God has given us. And I want to close with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is alive and active. I thank you, Lord, that it changes lives. I thank you, Lord, for baptism. I thank you that it symbolizes repentance. It symbolizes our cleansing of sin. It symbolizes our union with you, and it symbolizes our entering into the covenant community. I thank you, Lord, for the children of our church, and I thank you that you love the little children. And I pray, Lord, as those who are listening to this message now, that you will do a work in their lives and that you will convict them in the way you want to convict them. Whether they hold to infant baptism or not, Lord, may you just continue to help them be sharpened as they look in your word. And as they live their lives, may they constantly reflect back to your word, as your word is our guide. Your word is truth. I pray, Lord, that you will bless these families, and I thank you, Lord, for them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.